It's like awesome.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you doing today, Steve?
Jerry, I just met with one of our newest marina residents.
Nice.
Pastor Todd Anderson.
Cool. Which part of marina is he living in?
Phase four, baby.
What was that?
Phase four.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
Gosh, I want phase four. My gosh, what is that? They have like a private entrance to the Pacific, right? Isn't there like a bridge or a tunnel or?
To the ocean?
Yeah, right? Right next to like Best Buy or where, you know, where the roller skating ring is?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think we have there's only a couple cross ways through the freeway. We've got three access points. They're all public. I'm not aware if there's a secret one. I don't know about it, but.
Yeah, let's just say I don't have that kind of access to the Pacific Ocean. It's pretty nice.
No, we're lucky. And we've got the air conditioning, natural air conditioning as well, which, yeah, I always appreciate. I don't have air conditioning in my car. I don't have AC. And I had to drive through the Central Valley last week. And I was like, oh, good Lord. I don't normally need AC.
It's all good. Hi, everybody else is here. There's a, yeah, new, we're just chatting. Okay, well, let's see. We're just about at kickoff, 1:30 p.m. This is a special meeting of the Monterey Bay Air Resources District Board of Directors. I want to thank everybody for attending. This meeting will allow us to continue to meet remotely, thanks to legislation prepared and signed under AB 361. So with that, we're to order. And Siri, will you call the roll?
Yes, I will, sir. Let's see. Director Brown.
Here.
Thank you. Director Eskew.
I'm here.
Director Lopez.
Present.
Director Labar.
Present.
Director Kosmicki.
Here.
Director Carbone. Director Coonerty. Chair McShane.
Yeah.
Director Phillips. Director Story is absent, excused. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We have quorum, sir.
Got it. Well, with that, we'll go ahead and take up item 3. That is our AB 361 requirements and allowances for meeting remotely. Rich, anything you want to say?
No, your mission, if you choose to accept it, Mr. Chair and board members, is to approve this item to allow us to continue a remote meeting.
Thank you. Just asking if there's any questions from directors, quickly looking to the public.
No comments received at the district office.
Okay, we'll bring it back to the board for a motion in a second.
Askew moves approval.
Lopez seconds.
Okay, moved by Askew, seconded by Lopez. Siri, will you call the roll?
Yes, sir. All right. Director Brown.
Aye.
Director Eskew.
Aye.
Chair McShane.
Yep.
Director Lopez.
Yes.
Director Labar.
Aye.
Director Kosmicki.
Aye.
Okay, I'll check if others are here. Director Carbone. Director Coonerty. Director Friend. Director Phillips.
Aye.
Oh, welcome.
Thank you.
Director Story is absent. So approve unanimously.
Great. Thank you very much, Siri. We'll go on to our next item, and that is to approve the minutes or actions from our last special meeting on May 18th. Just looking for any questions.
Nothing received at the district office.
Public. Okay, good. Well, we'll come back for a motion in a second.
So moved, Kosmicki.
Thank you.
Second, thank you, Brown.
Okay, moved by Kosmicki and seconded by Brown. Siri, go ahead and call the roll.
Chair McShane.
Yes.
Director Lopez.
Yes.
Director Phillips.
Aye.
Director Brown.
Aye.
Director Kosmicki.
Aye.
Director Carbone. Director Coonerty. Director Friend.
Aye.
Thank you. Welcome. Director Labar.
Aye.
Director Eskew.
Aye.
And Director Story is absent. It approves.
Thank you. Well, that'll go ahead and bring us to public comment on items not on the agenda today for the special meeting. Just quickly looking.
Nothing received at the district office, sir.
Okay. We'll go ahead and stand adjourned for our special meeting and re-adjourn for our regular meeting. The Monterey Bay Air Resources District, Wednesday, August 17th, 2022, 1:34 p.m. So just want to welcome everybody. We are meeting remotely. We welcome the audience's participation, public. With that, we're called to order, and we'll go ahead and go forward with the pledge. So Director Brown, would you be so willing to lead us in the pledge?
I would. So I will, I'll get us started. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And to the republic which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you so much. Siri, we'll go ahead and go forward with the roll.
All right. Director Brown.
Here.
Director Phillips.
Here.
Director Friend.
Here.
Director Kosmicki.
Here.
Director Labar.
Present.
Director Lopez.
Present.
Director Eskew.
I'm here.
Thank you. Director Coonerty. Director Carbone. Chair McShane.
Here.
Director Story, the excused absence. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4. We have quorum, sir.
Great. With that, we'll open public comment. Members of the public invited to speak on any items not on the agenda. Just looking.
Nothing receives district's office, and I see Director Coonerty just arrived.
Thank you. Welcome, Ryan. Good. We'll move on to reports. The Budget, Personnel, and Nominating Committee did not meet due to lack of action. Mr. Stedman, anything on the advisory committee?
Ditto on that. So we did not meet this month.
Okay. We'll just open it to board members. Any referrals at this time? Anything anybody would like to share? We'll go into Rich's report.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the board. And first of all, I'd like to say I've been trying to get us together for a personal meeting, but we've been having some technical difficulties with bandwidth and a few other issues. In addition, we've gotten hammered by COVID-19. It's sort of swept through the office. We don't think a lot of it has to do with contact in the office, so there may be a few cases, but I know a number of folks, their family members have gotten it elsewhere. And so we're following our plan, which is based on state, local, and federal requirements and recommendations. So hopefully next month or next board meeting, we'll be able to either have a hybrid or meet in person. Just to give you a little bit on engineering compliance, tomorrow is going to be one of our first hearing board meetings we've had in a long time. And this presides over variance requests, which may allow a facility that is out of compliance to continue operating while completing an improved action plan to correct the situation. So we will be hearing that tomorrow, but I also wanted to remind the board a couple things. Number one, we still need some members for that board. Currently, we have the minimum, which is 3, but we still require a medical professional, a medical doctor, and a public member. So if you're interested, or if you know of somebody who's interested and you're interested in appointing them, please let me know. I'll send out information on how to do that to the full board. And then the same goes for the advisory committee too. We're probably getting to a frequency of quarterly meetings, but we still have a number of positions that have yet to be filled. And those are appointments by the board members, and you get up to two. So I'll send that information out as well. Next, I just want to say we've received several odor complaints this week regarding industrial wastewater treatment pond up in Hollister. This may sound familiar to you because it's happened a number of times before. And it seems as soon as there's some sort of canning activity where they have a lot of waste, tomatoes or something, it literally clogs the wastewater treatment plant. Everything goes septic. And then we get complaints of rotten egg smells. The city turned it over to a private operator, so they're now responsible for it. So we're working with the operator to make sure they get that under control and so that it doesn't happen again in the future. And then our standing item regarding marina odor complaints, we received one on June 22nd and one on July 28th. We really couldn't say what's going on with relative to what caused the odors. It's our understanding that the city of Marina selected SCS Engineers as the consultant for the odor attribution study. So that study should begin in several weeks. We've also received, this is from folks up in Santa Cruz, received complaints from public members regarding a construction project at Santa Cruz High School. They're doing a lead abatement program and there's a lot of construction going on. There was a small pile of transite pipes, which were upon notification cleaned up immediately. But a neighbor is very alarmed and concerned about environmental hazards and has hired her own consultant to do some swipe sampling of her fence and so forth. So it's we don't really have regulatory authority. The quantities are so small. Plus the source of the complaint is no longer there, but this person is looking to have their whole property decontaminated based on a swipe sample that was qualitative at best. So that's gonna probably continue, keep going. I just also want to let you know that we've got a clean air, it's California Clean Air Day, October 5th. I know we have a lot of clean air days, months, and you name it, but this is primarily put on by the California Coalition for Clean Air. We've partnered up with them, and there's a number of things that organizations can do. I'll also send this out to the board too, if you want to take a pledge to what they call it, the Clean Air Pledge, for individually or for your organization. Moving on to planning and air monitoring really quickly, I wanted to introduce Kara Hall. I don't know if she's online or not. Okay. She's our newest air quality technician, and we're really, really pleased to have her. She has a BS in public affairs with a major in environmental management from Indiana University, and she has extensive work experience in public outreach and natural resources and scientific research. She was just recently a sales lead at REI. She's worked at the Monterey Bay Aquarium and Monterey Bay Whale Watch as a naturalist and a park aide at Point Lobos. So she brings a wealth of experience to us and we're really pleased to have her. She's sort of drinking out of a fire hose right now and there she is. I see her name there. So just wanted to welcome her. We've also in the planning section, we're finishing up installing our low-cost Clarity sensors in Prunedale, Castroville, and Aptos. This is our wildfire smoke monitoring network. So this brings to a total number of 30 sensors that we've deployed thus far. It should be really handy during the wildfire season, which we're in. Fortunately, this has been sort of by past measure, a relatively mild summer, but we're prepared nonetheless. We're also working with the County Monterey Office of Emergency Services and Breathe California to look into the potential deployment of portable air filters at clean air centers during wildfire or smoke events. So it looks like we're in pretty good position right now to receive grant funding from the California Air Resources Board to purchase these monitors, and we'll have Breathe California most likely be responsible for responding during an emergency to make sure that the clean air centers receive these. And so at a center like a high school or something, auditorium, these devices can be deployed to reduce the smoke contamination inside. Our electric bicycle incentive program, which provides $500 with an additional $500 to low-income applicants to purchase electric bicycles, has already ended this fiscal year. So we went through our $50,000 really quickly. And really one significant feature of this is 37 of the 64 recipients were low income. So we really targeted it, and we're really happy to say that over half of the recipients were low income, and hopefully they'll be making a lot of use of this. I know I've had discussions with community or 3CE. They may be discontinuing their program, but we're hopefully collecting a lot more data than they did with relative to surveys and promissory note that the folks will use these to displace combustion-driven motor vehicles. So we'll be putting that information together and hopefully bring that back to you at another meeting. Also, I wanted to let you know that we have the National Drive Electric Day, Salinas Ride, a drive and display show. That's going to be on Sunday, October from 11 to 4 at 11 Station Place in Salinas, and that's the new extension parking lot at the commuter Amtrak station. We hope to have 300 to 500 attendees. Dealer test drive cars, EV owner cars, electric motorcycles should be on display. And there will be fun educational activities at booth staffs by community-based organizations like MBART. And there will be stuff for the kids and game stations. We'll have e-test bike rides as well and a food truck. And I believe this is put on by Ecology Action, and we're helping to sponsor that along with a lot of other sponsors. That concludes my remarks. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Great. Directors, any questions for? Okay, Colin, and then we'll go to Director Askew.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Rich, I was just wondering if the Air District had any communications regarding, there was another stench issue in the San Juan area. I think True Leaf Farms, 1275 San Justo Road. There had been something filed with our environmental health division, and they were looking into it as well. But I know it was really, really bad air quality situation with that as well. So I just wanted to bring you in the loop if you haven't been brought in the loop on that.
I see Amy tensing up. Maybe she knows.
I'm trying to check in the database. Did you say San Juan Batista?
Yeah, it's San Justo Road, okay. J-U-S-T-O. And if not, I can certainly forward over some of the communications that I've had with City of San Juan and our staff as well.
Okay, thank you for that.
I don't see anything here.
Okay.
So if you want to send that over to me.
All right. Not as an excuse, and we certainly will look into any complaint that we receive or perform an investigation, but odors are just proved to be very difficult to chase down, especially after the fact. But with this other one, we've been there before, and so we'll probably be there again, but we're trying to work to make sure that the odor doesn't happen at the wastewater treatment plant. I know it's impacted a lot of folks. Oh, there's David.
Yeah, and it might be more of a water quality problem than I think the water quality is at the source of the issue. It's causing the odor and all that. So
yeah, we're happy to coordinate. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Great. We'll go to Director Askew, and then we'll go to Director Brown.
Yeah, just two things. Can you say again, Rich, the number of e-bike rebates that were given and what number were for low income? I didn't write it down fast enough.
Okay, yeah. Let me look at my notes. Obviously, I didn't memorize it here. Yes. So 64 recipients and 37 of those were low income.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah. I'd love to get whatever additional details we have. And I think that's something worthy of celebrating and putting some information back out to the community. And then also, I just wanted to say thank you, Rich, for the detailed response to my questions. I had received some questions from the community about how the district uses fines as part of our budget, and just sort of a whole set of questions around our regulatory responsibilities. And Rich, your response was perfect and allowed me to be responsive even more so than I already had been. So just wanted to say thank you.
Thank you. And I just should say that we probably have a lot to discuss about that one source, and we're happy to, because it's been problematic. It's also timely, your inquiry, because this is the one of the two times during the year staff will be giving a report on our compliance engineering program, so along with our monitoring results.
Great. Sandy, Director Brown.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for the report. And I wanted to just send my appreciation for you trying to communicate with the person who made the complaint around Santa Cruz High. We have an interesting, engaged population, and it can be challenging. And I think it's probably the same person I've heard from. So if I can be helpful at all, if that becomes an ongoing communication that you're, that the person is wanting to just keep talking about, feel free to send them my way.
Thank you. I've
reached out as well. So thank you for, I know it can be, it's interesting. I'll leave it there.
Well, it's what we do, and we're happy to explain the situation as many times as we need to and as often as we need to. So thank you.
Thank you.
Sometimes feels like Groundhog Day. So just thanks.
Just quickly looking to see if there's anything else. I don't see any, and we'll go to the public. Any questions or comments from the public on the APCO's report? I don't see anything. So great, we'll go ahead to the consent agenda. There's six items on the consent agenda. Anybody wish to pull an item from the consent agenda? Seeing none, just going to the public.
Nothing received to the district office regarding the consent agenda.
Okay, we'll come back for a motion and a second on the consent agenda.
This is Lopez, I'll move consent.
I'll second, Zach.
Great, moved by Lopez, seconded by Friend. Siri, will you call the roll?
Yes. Director Kosmicki.
Yes.
Director Coonerty.
Yes.
Director Friend.
Aye.
Director LeBar.
Aye.
Director Eskew.
Aye.
Director Lopez.
Aye.
Director Phillips.
Aye.
Director Brown.
Aye.
I'm just double checking these directors arrived. Director Carbone. No. Director Story. No. And Chair McShane.
Yes.
Passed.
Thank you very much, Siri. So we've got three items on our regular agenda, and the first is a presentation and report that we can count on from Mr. Frisbee. Mr. Frisbee, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Chairman McShane. This is our mid-year report that we provide to you on the air quality data from the different regulatory monitoring stations around the district. So I'm going to turn this over to our air monitoring supervisor, Bill Chevalier.
Good afternoon, Chairman Shane and members of the board. Let me put the presentation up here.
Bill, we can't hear you. Can you speak up?
Hold on.
We can hear you, just very quiet.
Oh, let me see if okay. Is that better?
Yes. Much.
Much better. Okay, my mic was turned down. Okay.
Director Carbone just joined us.
Okay. Let's see. Oh, here we go. Siri, it looks like I am unable to share this.
I will just tell me when.
Okay, go ahead, and I'll start talking.
Can everyone see it?
No.
No. Okay. Let's go. Share again. Okay, one more time.
There we go.
Starting from the beginning. Okay.
All right. My name is Bill Chevalier, and I'll be doing the presentation of the air monitoring mid-year summary for 2022. Go ahead, next slide, please, Siri. Thank you. Here we see the North Central Coast Air Base and the 8 air monitoring stations within it. 7 of the stations are operated by the Monterey Bay Air Resources District, and 1 is operated by the National Parks Service and Pinnacles. The Pinnacles Air Monitoring Station monitors visibility and has an ozone monitor. Of the station, of the 7 air monitoring stations operated by MBARD, excuse me. So, 2, San Lorenzo Valley and San Juan Bautista, do not have ozone monitors. San Juan Bautista, King City, and Hollister all have PM10 monitors, which are dust monitors. And all of the stations have, except for Pinnacles and San Juan Bautista, have PM2.5 or smoke monitors. Let's see. Next slide, please. Okay, here's an example of 2 of our air monitoring stations, 1 in Carmel Valley and 1 in Salinas. Next slide, please. And inside pretty much all of the stations, you'll see an instrument rack, which contains the gas monitors. We have, most of them are ozone monitors, and Salinas has NOx and CO monitor, gas monitors as well. The rightmost picture is a Partisol sampler, which is a PM2.5 smoke monitor, and that one is on the roof of our Salinas air monitoring station. Next picture, please. The ambient air quality standards set the limits for acceptable air quality. Our status of attainment or non-attainment depends on how well our air quality meets these standards each calendar year. We are currently in attainment for ozone and PM2.5 for both the state and federal standards. And we are in non-attainment for PM10 for the state standards only. Next slide, please. As you can see here, we are on track to continue to be in attainment for both the 1-hour and 8-hour ozone standards. Next slide, please, Siri. And then we are also on track, next slide, to be in attainment for PM2.5 standards as well. Okay, next slide. PM10 for 2022 is following the typical annual pattern where we start to see an increase in readings and excess exceedances of the state standards during the summer months. This is typically caused by wind-driven dust in the Salinas Valley. There's a little peak around, you know, in mid-June in Hollister. This was caused by dust from a construction site for a large housing development right adjacent to our air monitoring station in Hollister. Next slide, please. Okay, this past year, MBARD has been setting up a low-cost sensor network, which Rich just mentioned earlier, of PM2.5 smoke monitors throughout the district to more quickly pick up on changes in air quality during fire events. Next slide. As you can see, it's much more extensive than our air monitoring, our regulatory network, which has 8. Here we have 25. We're still adding a few more, and we should have about 30 stations within this network. It will also alert us to events that we might not see with the regulatory network.
Next slide, please. For example, some controlled burns in the Salinas Valley may impact parts of Soledad, closest to the mountains on the eastern side of the Salinas Valley. We'll often see little smoke plumes or smoke that'll kind of hug the eastern mountains, and it kind of hits the backside of Soledad. Next slide, please. Last Friday, Monitor in Scotts Valley picked up smoke from the De La Viego fire in Santa Cruz near the golf course, kind of in the at the hills behind Santa Cruz. A lot of these small events don't get picked up by our regulatory network, but have a much higher chance of getting picked up by our low-cost network. Next slide, please. And that is the end of the presentation. Are there any questions?
Thank you very much, Bill. Just looking to see if there's any question. Not seeing any. Looking to the public.
Nothing received at the office.
Okay. Well, there's no action on this as it's a report. Thank you very much, Bill. Thank you, Mr. Frisbee. And we'll move on to our mid-year 2022 engineering and compliance report. And with that comes Ms. Climo.
Good afternoon, members of the board. Let's see here, share my presentation. So today I'll be going over the mid-year activities in our engineering and compliance teams. And I just wanted to remind everyone that a few years ago, pre-COVID, we used to do monthly consent agenda items where we would include this, the information that Bill just presented, and then the engineering compliance activities. But we felt like it was a good way just to have a couple touch points each year with the board about what's going on. And so we wanted to make it a regular agenda item. And so I'm just gonna kind of touch on the activities that we do in engineering compliance and kind of where we are so far this year. So engineers receive the permit applications and they review them to make sure that the equipment can meet federal, state, and local regulations. And then they'll issue a permit with conditions to make sure that they stay in compliance with those regulations. And then as needed, they may develop rules and regulations. And then we also report to the California Air Resources Board each year emissions from the larger stationary sources. So that would be like the Moss Landing power plant or landfills. So for the first part of this year, I'm happy to say that our engineering team is now fully staffed. We had our fourth engineer start in January. So we've seen some of our numbers go up. So our authorities to construct is about a 10% increase compared to the last year, mid-year. We don't have control over the number of applications received. So we just take those as they come. The other thing is with the relaxation of some of the COVID restrictions, we've nearly doubled our number of startup inspections. So that's very exciting. So people are able to get back out in the field. And we issued our first federal operating permit. So that's the Title V permits to Monterey One Water. So the large wastewater treatment there north of the city of Marina. So once a permit is issued, it goes over to our compliance team and they conduct inspections of those sources to make sure that the conditions that the engineers put on the permit are being followed. And they take enforcement actions if there are violations. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in just a moment. And then we also have a team that ensures compliance with the federal asbestos regulation. And then we also respond to complaints, as Rich mentioned earlier. We do have a new inspector starting in September. And that still leaves us with one open position. So we may be having to do another recruitment for an inspector. So I'll just get into our data. So for compliance, we've also, because of the relaxation of the COVID restrictions, we've seen an increase of about 30% in the number of inspections that have been completed. We've also seen an increase in the number of asbestos notifications and asbestos inspections that we've been doing. And the number of complaints we've received is about the same. So the complaints, the breakdowns, and the variances are kind of as received. We don't have control over those activities. But I just wanted to provide a little bit of information about the difference between a notice to comply and a notice of violation. So we call a notice to comply an NTC, and this is usually issued to a business or an agency for first-time violations that are administrative in nature. Maybe they're not doing their record keeping, but we're able to get some other types of records like purchase records to confirm that they're not exceeding any emission limits. So they'll get a notice to comply and we'll provide them assistance to make sure they know how to keep their records. And we allow them 10 working days to make those corrections. And we do not issue penalties for NTCs. So a notice of violation is usually if we've gone out several times and you're not keeping your records, then we would issue a notice of violation. Or if you're exceeding an emission limit that's on your permit, you would automatically get a notice of violation. And so these are this is the place where we would issue a penalty. When we issue a notice of violation, we provide a questionnaire so that the person can explain to us perhaps why the violation occurred and what they're going to do to prevent it from happening in the future. And then we take all of that information, the inspector writes a report, and then this is taken into our mutual settlement program. And our mutual settlement program, the information is provided in a consent agenda item each month to the board. And so you get that report, you can see what kinds of violations we're seeing in the field. And the program provides an opportunity to settle violations through a participatory process between us and the violator. And then we use a matrix to calculate penalties. And the base penalty is $217, and it's increased based upon factors such as an emission impact, past violations, and business size. And I just checked in our last fiscal year, and we received approximately $170,000 in penalties through our mutual settlement program. And 80% of those were from private businesses and 20% were from government organizations. And then finally, I just wanted to say we had our 1 year anniversary back in July of using our Acela database, and we're pretty happy with it. And we also completed our first renewal process for Ag Engines in the database. So the database, we ran a script and it assesses fees and creates an invoice for those Ag Engine registrations. So with that, I will take any questions.
Thank you, Amy. Any questions from directors? Looking. Siri, anything taken from the public?
No public comments received in the district office.
Great. Well, this is a report, so thank you for the presentation. Oh, wait, Director Astor,
sorry, Chair. Yeah, I was a little delayed on my hand raise there. And this was one of the part of the question that I had sent over to Rich was trying to understand how large our violation program is, how large that work product is. And the one of the questions that I'd asked was the amount of revenue that's generated through violations that are issued annually. And just for the benefit of the community that may be paying attention, it is less than $200,000 per year as budgeted. And if I'm correct, Rich, comes in at less than that and is not a large or significant revenue generation activity for the district. It really is part of our regulatory activity. So it was informative for me to have that information, and I think informative for the community that really what we're doing here is fulfilling our mandate to keep the community safe. This is not something that we're doing as a way to bring in money for the district to spend in other places. But I'll pass it back to Rich if you had to add any context to my comments.
Yeah, as always, the answer to the question, and I certainly gave this to you, we've been under budget and we don't like to budget an artificially high amount because it makes it look like we have a quota to fill. However, I should say that the depends part, we've had penalties in the past for $2 million. We've had penalties from our large sources, in particular, We had one facility, I think we had $1.3 million in assessed penalties and fines through our mutual settlement program. We sat down, they agreed to make improvements to avoid any difficulties in the future and violations. So we settled for about half that amount. So typically we come in around half of the assessed amount if they're cooperative. But there's some, we have a really sophisticated matrix on how we assess penalties. And certainly one of the factors is if they have a history of noncompliance, that will increase the penalty amount going forward. So, but we do credit people for, you know, if it's just a one-time deal, they don't get hammered by us. So there can be years where we make a significant amount of money that goes into our coffers, and we do have a clean air fund that we use to put that money back into the community, such as our program that we're offering up with the partnership at University of California, Santa Cruz.
Great, thank you, Rich. Any further questions? Seeing none, great. We'll move on to our last item. This is an item Rich and I have spoken about, just minor amendments to our meeting schedule, as well as revisions to the calendar together. So, Rich, do you want to kick that off?
Sure. Thanks, Chair, board members. So, this has we've talked about this past couple of meetings, and as you can see by this agenda and some of our previous agendas, you know, we put a lot into making the meeting happen, and sometimes we only have one or two items. So, this would hopefully be a lot more cost-effective and efficient for the organization. We checked with legal on the requirements on our meetings, and we can do this. In fact, we've noticed that one of our sister agencies, Santa Barbara County Air Pollution Control District, went to this meeting format about 5 years ago or more. So it's been done by other air districts throughout the state. But I think the take-home message here, though, is that we would like board members, because you're busy schedules, to preserve your existing calendar going forward. Should we need to have a special meeting, we would have that date already pre-planned and on your calendar. But we'll make every attempt to do advance notification to remind you whether there is or is not a meeting, and we'll follow up with that. But as I said, I think this will help with our costs, should be more efficient. We've also seen, as you saw with our monitoring presentation that Bill did, that we're, for the most part, in compliance with a lot of the attainment requirements, with the exception of PM10. We're not sure we'll ever solve that down in South County, but we're working on it. But with the attainment status comes some freedom, and that means we don't have to prepare as many plans and reports that have to go through public scrutiny and so forth. So we're actually seeing our planning department, a lot of air districts have done away with the planners, the designation of planners, and they're moving to air quality specialists. What we are seeing in the planning department is an increase in the amount of money we're handling and the amount of grants we're giving out. And we actually get administrative costs with that. So even though we're seeing a decrease in planning activities, we are seeing a significant increase, as evidenced by our hiring in grant activities. So it's not a time to roll back or cut back. In fact, we're probably going to have to be hiring additional staff to get this money turned over and out to the recipient. So you will find in the board package the proposed schedule. We will have to make some adjustments for meetings we've had in the past. For instance, our AB 2766 program, we usually brought that in September, so we'll probably bump that out to October. So, but for the most part, we don't really see the need to have a monthly meeting. And actually, one thing in the consent agenda that actually will help this as well is You've given me the authorization to accept on behalf of the board a number of these grant monies that are coming from the California Air Resources Board. Typically, we get a few days notice to get the board approval, which we'd have to wait an entire month to get it on the agenda, so or have a special meeting. So that will make things easier. You'll still have control with respect to reviewing budget and expenditures and that sort of thing. So there's no control that's lost with that. And the state may want to see a signed board letter too. So, but we hope to at least expedite and shorten that approval process so that we can get the grants secured as soon as possible.
Thank you, Rich.
Are there any questions?
Okay, just looking. I don't think there is. I just will comment that Rich and I have talked about this and we want to be efficient and mindful of staff. So I'm certainly in support. There's no questions. We'll just go to the public.
No public comments received at district office.
Okay, this is an action item. So we'll go ahead and come back to the board.
LaBarre, make that motion.
Okay.
I'll second.
Okay, moved by LaBarre, seconded by Friend. Siri, will you call the roll?
Yes. Director Phillips.
Aye.
Director Brown.
Aye.
Director Eskew.
Aye.
Director Lopez.
Aye.
Director Kosmicki.
Aye.
Director Carbone.
Aye.
Director Coonerty.
Aye.
Director Friend.
Aye.
Director LaBarre.
Aye.
Chair McShane.
Yeah.
And Director Story is absent, approved unanimously.
Thank you. That brings our meeting to a close. Just because Director Kosmicki is here, I have to reference the Apricot King, 890 West Side Road, Frank and Mary Gonzalez. The best dried apricots come from Hollister and San Bernardino County. My dad hooked me up with this bag, and I think I've eaten this much in the last hour.
I can't argue against that. Hey, we got some pretty good apricot beer as well at our local brewery.
Wow. Ooh, I'll see you there. Hey, it's good to see you guys. Have a great summer. What's left of it. And, we'll.
All right. Good seeing you. Thanks.
See you on the 20th of September.
Got it. All right. Bye-bye. Thank you.